Hey, welcome to Beyond Sunday. I'm Susanna.
And I'm Pastor Joe. We're looking forward to another good episode today of Digging Deeper. And so we're back at the top of the order this morning, and we're going to look at a passage that we talked about in our church service this past Sunday. So welcome, and if you want to take a look at the verses, we'll be kind of combing through Ecclesiastes 7, verses 2 through 4, and pulling out from there what God has for us and digging into some of those things a little deeper. So
yeah,
why don't you tell us a little bit of the background and context of what we'll be talking about today?
Yeah. Do you mind if I just read the verses?
Yeah, go for it.
To go for? All right. So Ecclesiastes 7 verses 2 through 4 says, "It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." This sounds very contradictory to what we typically hear, right? No one would say, oh, it's better to mourn than to be happy, right?
Exactly.
So kind of neat to unpack this on Sunday and see what it's actually talking about in this passage.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I've said the word paradoxal like a million times.
It fits.
In six chapters and four verses of Ecclesiastes. So we've kind of breached the halfway point of the book. And so we're in chapter 7. Yeah. So through six chapters and the first four verses of chapter 7, so much of what he's telling us is paradoxical to, and that's really the point, or paradoxical to, it's kind of the opposite of what mankind generally lives for and pursues in life, or how we try to attain satisfaction, fulfillment, and purpose and meaning with life. Right.
Right.
A lot of times our sights are just, you know, set on the earthly things, things that we tangibly can see and touch and feel, like grab a hold of here on earth. We think we can grab a hold of them, but that's the whole point of this book, is that really you can't attain happiness and fulfillment through the gain of the things of this earth.
Yeah.
We might be able to gain some things of this earth, but they're not going to give us the true fulfillment and long-lasting satisfaction when we're really, in the end, looking back on our life.
Right.
Right? It won't give us the true satisfaction. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, it was talking about this even with a teenager, one of our teens on Sunday, who's like 17, and we were talking about like money, and he's starting his first job. And we talked about money, and I was about to make the statement about, you know, the world wants us, and a lot of times our flesh, we want to think that money, now money's not wrong.
Right.
Right.
We need money.
We need money. And it's fine and great if we have a wealth of it.
Right.
But the point is that it doesn't make us more satisfied or a better person if we have more of it versus the person who doesn't have as much of it. But just talking about that, you know, and I was about to make a statement about, like, but in the end, money doesn't really give us happiness. And he, like, I forget exactly how he said it, but he even, just as a 17-year-old kid, 16, what, you know, he finished my sentence. Like, he knew already that, you know, money, because it comes and goes, right? And it's not the thing that gives true eternal happiness.
Right.
And really, I think that's because we are eternal creatures. Like, our physical bodies are mortal. Like, we are mortal, but our spirit or our soul is going to pass on into eternity.
Yeah.
And so in the scope of eternity, what matters?
Yeah.
What's important? And so that's what, kind of like the background. And so a lot of the things that the world and our flesh tells us to pursue for, you know, it's kind of like what he talks about, what we kind of pulled from in this passage, of things that we can use to make ourselves forget the lack of happiness that we actually have from the things that we are pursuing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, doesn't it seem like that's human nature to always pursue and desire happiness? Like,
yeah.
Any little bit of discomfort in life, whether it's emotional, relational, you know, tangible, like a lack of physical possessions or money,
yeah,
it creates discomfort in our lives. And it's like our initial response is, let's get out of this discomfort. Right. Let's get comfortable again. Even like happiness is elevated as like the most important emotion. But really, God has created a huge spectrum of different emotions. And we see throughout God's word that even Jesus felt different emotions while he was here on earth. Yeah. So our emotions are created by God. And happiness is not necessarily like the peak pinnacle. Of course, it feels the best out of all the emotions, but really like listening to what God is saying to us through what, you know, we're going through in our lives and those different thoughts and emotions that that stirs up. Really, it's not like, let's just escape the difficulty of life and just get back to happiness. Yeah. It's almost like happiness is always the goal. For every human being,
right? You know, and I mean, that's exactly, essentially, the point of this passage of these verses is. So he contradicts or he compares the wise and the fool, right? Wisdom and foolishness, and he says that it's better, and it's so neat. I love these, you know, better is statements. Yeah. You know, it's better to basically he's saying it's better to mourn than to feast, and it's better to sorrow than to laugh. And I'm someone who loves to have fun, you know? And maybe if you're like that, you hear that and you think, now we can have a tendency because our flesh, right? And the devil wants us to think negatively about God.
Right.
Right. He, oldest trick in the book, he wanted Eve to think that God was withholding something.
Yeah.
But this whole book, Solomon has been telling us, no, it's not that God is withholding. Everything in our life that we have is a gift from God to enjoy.
Yeah.
The problem is the reason that we pursue more is often because of comparison. Like if I have, you know, three things of whatever I enjoy and someone else has 10, well, I think if I get to 10 as well, then I'll be happier because when I compare myself of 3 versus 10, I all of a sudden start to feel inferior, insufficient, you know, and like, I don't have enough.
Right.
I need 10.
Yeah.
You know, but God is saying, no, I gave you 3, be happy with that and enjoy those 3, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so we kind of bring that unsatisfaction into like on ourselves. Mm-hmm. God is saying, no, I gave you life and I gave you everything that you have.
Yeah.
Right. And it could be, and we compare ourselves with others in like every area.
Right.
Oh, this person has a better job. This person has a better marriage. This person has a better car. This person has better clothing or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You know, I like to play golf. This person has a better golf swing or they hit the ball farther or whatever. You know, so you can apply it to so many areas. And if we're that's what our flesh does. Our flesh wants to basically feel good about ourselves by having more one-upping or outdoing others. Right. Yeah. So what is he talking about? What did we talk about on Sunday by his reference to mourning? Like, what is he saying and why is he saying it's better to mourn than to feast? Because I also am one that likes to eat. So what does that mean? What is he talking about in that paradoxical statement of contradiction?
Yeah, so when we're mourning and when we're in that place where we're not like self-reliant, like, oh yeah, everything's great. Everything's going so wonderful because of what I've worked for, what I've done. But we realize, oh, God is in control of everything. And, you know, we have difficulties in life and we can turn to him. And that mourning often draws us closer to God.
Yeah.
I think of the psalmist, which it's funny because a lot of the psalms that were written by David, who was the father of Solomon.
Yeah.
And so often throughout the Psalms, David is extremely open and candid about his feelings. And I think there's a like rule of thought that says emotions are bad.
Yeah.
Like, don't be emotional.
Yeah.
Actually, emotions are just a fact.
Yeah.
They're God created, God given.
Right.
They just are. They're not good or bad. Yeah.
We've seen that even in Ecclesiastes that emotions are part of life. It's how we handle them.
Right.
And so, yeah, if we just ignore them and suppress them, and I think the way that we approach emotions can be like what we're talking about here, in the overall, like, you know, principle that we're gonna learn and that we're talking about. But emotions can definitely lead us astray in a wrong direction, right? Because they can lie to us, but they also can warn us. Mm-hmm. We talked about anger. We'll probably pull that out here in a minute, but like, you know, anger is not always necessarily bad.
Right.
It can be destructive, but it can be constructive, and we can get angry with a situation that we're tired of and then move out from it and move, you know, into a better place or whatnot. But
yeah. So I think, like, you know, there can be this negative connotation, like, oh, you're so emotional.
Yeah.
We are all
everyone is
emotional. It's kind of like, you know, the Bible verse that says the love of money is the root of all evil. Sometimes that's taken. People say money is the root of all evil. No, the love of money. Right. Well, same with emotions. Emotions in and of themselves are not good or bad, right or wrong. It's how they lead us to make decisions in our lives. I think of Proverbs 3, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding.
Right.
So don't rely on your own thoughts, your own feelings. I mean, our feelings can change like that.
Yeah.
We can be up one minute, down the next. Usually it's circumstantial.
Yeah, definitely.
So emotions are not wrong in and of themselves. It's what we do, how we act upon those emotions. Yeah. And I even think of earlier in Ecclesiastes, where he says to everything, there is a season, a time to mourn and a time to laugh.
Yeah.
There's different things that we will go through in our lives that will bring that mourning.
Yeah.
And often those times of mourning lead us back to God.
Right.
The psalmist, as I was saying earlier, he so often is very open about his feelings. You know, why is my soul cast down?
Yeah.
Why am I, you know, when my heart is overwhelmed, he's so open about feeling these deep, heavy emotions. And, you know, if you know the context of a lot of those psalms, David, as writing a lot of the psalms, was going through some extremely difficult things with Saul chasing him, his own children turning against him. But I find it so interesting that often those verses start with, here's what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going through. And then there's this turning point of, but I'm going to praise God.
Yeah.
I'm going to lift my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. He doesn't stay like, oh, this is hard. Oh, I'm feeling this. Yeah. That's it. End of statement, period. It's, this is what I'm feeling. This is real. This is hard, but I'm going to trust God.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn my eyes to him. I think that is just an amazing picture of, if we didn't have the times of mourning, then we could not see the goodness of God through all of that difficulty.
Absolutely. I mean, the mere fact that he's saying it's better to mourn, that's an emotion that, and that is the end point. It leads us to God. Mm-hmm. God gives us things as gifts in our life to enjoy.
Right.
That's an emotion that we feel from God. So yeah, it's more about using wisdom, which is what Solomon is known for talking about, wisdom versus folly. And he uses those two words here in this passage, and then obviously throughout Proverbs. And it's using discretion and wisdom in discerning, you know, what are these emotions? Are they true? Mm-hmm. Are they honest? And, you know, are they right? Are they going to lead me in the right path? Or, you know, and so, or are they pulling me in a wrong direction?
Yeah.
You know, emotions can be negative and false, or they can be selfish, but we go to God and we tell, and God never says, don't come to me with your problems or with your emotions or how you're feeling.
Right.
No, we go to God and tell him what we're thinking and feeling. And that right there is like the exact picture of the spiritual warfare and the Christian journey is when we're facing something, and we're going to scripture and we're going to God and we're saying, God, what are you telling me in this? Mm-hmm. What is right and what is true? What should my response be?
Yeah.
And I think that's proper. That's the right thing to do. Not hide and suppress and act like emotions are all wrong and bad and no, don't have emotions. Yeah. But when I'm feeling something, then how am I going to respond in those and to those in the right way, according to God's word and according to what God's will is for me, what God desires and what God is telling me as truth. And so, so mourning is a word that in this passage Solomon uses as a word that they would know as a ceremonial practice that they did. When there was a loss of a loved one, when someone passed and died, they would actually spend, you know, days or weeks in this period of mourning. Mm-hmm. And there were different things that they did. I talked about this a little bit on Sunday about wearing sackcloth and ashes, and the that term sackcloth and ashes comes from this period of mourning where they would, you know, remove their comfortable clothes and put on the sackcloth. And then they would, sit on ashes, like hot ashes, you know, or stand on them, walk through them. And it was their way to reflect and remember and like show that emotion of sadness and grieving over the loss of their loved one and to remember them. Mourning is also something that is a picture of repentance, mm-hmm. Of repenting over sin and turning to God. And in the Bible times, they also would go, they would wear sackcloth and ashes and in their state of mourning over their sin to show God that they were repenting from their sin to and turning to God. Yeah. And so it has those connotations. It's leading us to the point of reflection. And we talked about reflection, recognition, recognizing, you know, what are, if they're repenting, well, they're repenting from something that they're recognizing after reflection that is sin in their life. And then they're recognizing that, you know, I have a wrong idea that is in opposition to God's word and to God's truth, and I'm going to repent from this and turn to God. And then they show God their seriousness about their repentance by the sackcloth and ashes, by the period of mourning. Mm-hmm. They're putting to death the old thing.
Yeah.
Right. And so we can even just relate this to, you know, whether it's times of loss or and times of spiritual repentance and times of difficulty. And like you talked about that a moment ago about in life, there are hardships and trials and difficulties, whether spiritual or just practical in our life, our everyday life, mm-hmm. whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, whether it's, you know, health-wise or job-wise or whatever. There's so many different areas in our life that we can have difficult crossroads and struggles in. And, you know, what he's telling us is in the hardships, many people, what we can do is one of two things. We can either be serious about it and learn from it, mm-hmm. or the house of mirth in verse 4, the house of feasting in verse 2, those are references to just folly. Going to places to forget our problems.
Yeah.
So we can either reflect on the situation in seriousness and what led us there, what got us into this trouble. Was it something that I did? Is it decisions that I made that got me to this point? You know, is it an outside source or circumstance? Is it something that I could have controlled or is it something out of my control? There's a lot of things that we can reflect on to understand and come to a recognition of the reality of the situation and what we can learn from it. Yeah. So we can learn from these things, you know, from the hardships of life. You know, if it's a struggle in a relationship, okay, what got there? What was the problem?
Yeah.
And we can learn from that to either try to repair or to not let ourselves get to that place in relationships any longer the next time or whatnot.
Yeah.
Or we can just go to a place in our mind, either mentally or it can be physically. You know, I mentioned this. A lot of people turn, you know, it's like if it's not drugs or alcohol that people go to forget their problems, it might be ice cream or, right? So in a silly sense, you know, that's always a joke when you're feeling bad emotions, you know, drown your sorrows in something, whether alcohol or even ice cream or chocolate or whatever, right? And I think that, you know, that's what we do, generally do, whether spiritually or even just kind of practically. we can either face those things in our life and be serious about them and learn from them so that we can grow from them.
Yeah.
Or we can just live a life of folly and to try to forget the reality of the hardships, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that we see that in life, whether it's in the time of a loss of a loved one or the loss of a job, you know? I mean, there's so much instability that comes through loss, whether it's a person, whether it's a job, whether it's finances. And we can turn, we can either face that, learn from it, and grow from it, mm-hmm. or we can, you know, through reflecting, or we can deflect and just go to a place of trying to forget the pain. And you used the word comfort before, and it's interesting because really what he's saying the wise will learn, will reflect, learn, and grow.
Yeah.
Right? The fool will just try to forget it and hide it.
Yeah.
And so when we learn and grow from it, there's comfort in that. Mm-hmm. Right? When we try to hide it and deflect it and just try to cover it and act like it's not there but never really deal with it, it's not going to really go away, and we try to find comfort in something that's trying to just cover it. But if we're just covering it, it's still there, yeah. and there won't be really lasting comfort.
No.
And you have to continue to return to that place of forgetting that it's there.
Yeah.
And there's actually more true comfort in facing it and being serious about it.
Yeah.
So he's not saying, you know, be a serious person and never have fun, never laugh, never enjoy anything. But he's saying, you know, don't use folly. Don't use frivolity in life. Don't use, you know, I think of the prodigal son. Hmm. He didn't like his circumstance. So he wanted to forget it and he wanted to run from it. And he thought that just getting his inheritance, his money, and then go taking it and just spending it on things that would make him feel better about himself and feel good in the moment was the better thing.
Yeah.
But it didn't get him anywhere mm-hmm. in the end, except for back home, which that's a good thing. But the point is he... That's like the picture of folly. You know, he wanted to not work and not do the responsibility of working and, you know, and waiting and for his inheritance. He wanted to go and just find fulfillment and satisfaction through pleasure.
Yeah.
So that's the picture of wisdom versus foolishness in this passage. In the hardships of life. What do you think are, you know, ways that we can then be wise in hardships in life and learn and then grow versus trying to just forget and act like they're not there. But how can we actually learn from and grow from hardships in life?
Yeah, well, there's pain regardless.
Yeah.
Because we live in a fallen world, there's going to be hardship. Yeah. There's going to be difficult things we go through. But it's almost like we can deal with that intense pain, sit with it, take the time to heal,
yeah.
grow from it. And that's uncomfortable. That yeah. is hard. Nobody wants to face difficulty head on and say, okay, I'm going to just be still. God, teach me through this. I'm going to yeah. explore what happened, what I can do to learn from this, to move past even loss. Like, okay, this happened. Let me just sit with the emotion. Let me let myself feel how hard this is
yeah.
in this moment. I think if we don't take that time to heal and to focus on the pain, we are going to still have that pain, but it's going to be prolonged
yeah.
for, you know, indefinitely.
Yeah.
I think of like a physical injury. Like, let's say that somebody sprains their ankle and the doctor says, you need to get off that ankle for the next 10 days. I want you in bed, elevate that ankle, just focus on healing.
Yeah.
And that person says, oh no, I can't do that. I'm so busy. I have to just keep up with my life. So they put pressure on their foot. They go about their busy day. They don't actually tend to the healing of their physical ailment. And then they could have a lasting injury that never actually really healed properly, that they're going to be dealing with the fallout of that physical injury for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
They're not really going to be able to put all their weight on that, or that they could compound it with another injury, you know, later on. It's the same thing, like with our emotional difficult things we go through in life, like giving ourselves the time. And I love that picture from this portion of scripture where you said they put on sackcloth and they sat on ashes. Super uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sackcloth is like a burlap sack.
Yeah.
Itchy, scratchy.
Yeah.
Sitting on hot ashes.
Right.
So uncomfortable. But they were taking the time to say, this loss happened.
Yeah.
We're going to lament it. But lamentation is not just sorrow, it's sorrow and prayer.
Yeah.
So saying, this happened, but God, you are good. You're going to work this good through this difficult situation.
Yeah.
So I think taking that time, not rushing through the healing process. Okay, well, that happened, but let's just stuff it under the rug and let's move on. When things get stuffed under the rug, that's when all those coping mechanisms come into place later on. So to take the time to know this is going to be hard.
Yeah.
I have to face it. I just read a quote from a book that I thought was so good. It said, in order to enjoy the present, you have to make peace with the past. Mm. We can't fully live an abundant, thriving life that God has for us today if there's things that we haven't fully healed from.
Yeah. Yeah.
From the past. So whether that loss happened yesterday or it happened 20 years ago, today, saying, God, help me to deal with this in a healthy way.
Yeah.
Show me in your wisdom the steps that you want me to take. And that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're just going to heal like that, even with our physical bodies. It takes time.
Yeah.
But you can look back on injuries maybe you've had and you don't struggle with that any longer because you gave yourself the time to heal. So giving ourselves the time to heal, seeking God, his wisdom, and then asking God, what are the steps you want me to take to move forward? Sometimes that could just be when a thought comes into your mind saying, no, I'm not going to think that.
Right.
I'm not going to let that thought sink in. I'm going to fill my mind with truth from God's word.
Right.
Or I'm not hanging out with those people anymore because they constantly remind me of the past.
Yeah.
We all have people in our lives where every time you see them, maybe you knew them in high school, maybe you knew them, you know, in a different stage of life, especially if they're not believers in Christ. When you're around them, it's like, oh, hey, remember those crazy things we used to do? And you're like, I don't want to remember those crazy things. But every time you're with them, that's what it's all about. Maybe saying, I'm actually not going to hang out with those people anymore, or I'm going to put healthy boundaries in place, or I'm going to say to them, hey, let's make new memories.
Yeah.
We had some fun times. We did some things that were not great.
Yeah.
Why don't we make new memories today together?
Yeah.
Just asking God for the wisdom to move forward in a different way that promotes that healing.
Yeah.
Doesn't just aid, you know, the hurt for this moment, and then that hurt is going to be back.
Right.
You know, if you were to talk to anyone who's in a bar on a Saturday night and ask them, like, what pain do you have? They would probably tell you that that pain could be years old, and every single week they're trying to get rid of that pain for years and years and years. Why prolong that pain?
Right.
Why let that last an entire lifetime? Sit with it, deal with it, get uncomfortable, sit on those ashes, put that sackcloth on, figuratively speaking, and let God deal with it in your heart.
Yeah. The point is spiritual health. That's what growth is growing into spiritual health. And so we can't ever just assume that we're at a place of spiritual health. We're always growing into it, or we're growing more into it. And if we just let things remain in our life that we haven't really faced that are unhealthy, then they're going to hinder us from spiritual health. Mm-hmm. And so it could be sinfulness. It could be, you know, it could be another influence in your life that you're, you know, reflecting and recognizing might lead you to realize, whether it's a person, whether it's some kind of form of entertainment, whether it's a thought that you're still like believing.
Yeah.
If there's something that is hindering you from spiritual health and spiritual growth, a place of purity before God, That is the hard thing, is being able to admit that and then being able to face those things and say, no, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
And mourning, you know, in mourning, there's weakness,
yeah.
right? And so you need a source of strength. You know, how often do we see the picture of when somebody's enduring a great loss and they fall to their knees and then somebody else is helping them to get up, picking them up, get them to another seat or place where they need to be, right? And that's who God is for us. That's why David turned to God and he's saying, this is what I'm dealing with and I'm losing the strength. And so when we turn to God, we're showing trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, absolutely. Mourning and how we can learn from it and then grow from it is turning to God and trusting God
mm-hmm.
and facing the things. And that's the point of reflection in our lives, whether in a moment of hardship or just in our lives as a whole, or, you know, what is in our life that is actually hindering our spiritual health and our spiritual growth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what am I participating in without even giving it a thought that it might actually be very spiritually unhealthy for me?
Yeah.
That's the difference of money versus the love of money. It's very easy to love money and to believe that money is the source of, you know, that's going to fix all my problems, mm-hmm. right? God doesn't want us to love anything that becomes an, you know, to the point of becoming an idol in our life. He wants us to and love him for giving us the things in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't take time to reflect and to be serious in life and the reality of the hardships in life, then we'll never recognize what is in our life that's actually hindering us. And it could be ourselves. It could be somebody else, or it could be something else that is unhealthy. And it is difficult to put a stop to something in our life that we, our flesh and our life has become familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Like stopping and changing, but that's growth.
Yeah.
And there are things that I think there's a lot of little things, like everyday things that sometimes we kind of laugh off, like the house of feasting, the house of laughter and mirth, right? We just kind of laugh off that, yeah, it's okay. It's not really that big of a deal.
Yeah.
We make our own excuses for our own spiritual immaturities,
mm-hmm.
our lack of desiring God, our lack of pursuing spiritual growth, the sinful habits in our life. Because we compare ourselves and like, well, I'm not a drunk.
Yeah.
We look at somebody that's, or a sin that's a bigger sin. And, but if I have a problem of gossip, then I need to, then reflection would help me to realize, why do I have this problem?
Yeah.
Is there a certain person in my life that is always, that leads me into that?
Mm-hmm.
And confronting or putting a stop to spending time with that person? Or is it something else?
Yeah.
You know? Lying. Why do I lie? Cover on my own tracks, selfishness or whatever. Yeah. Like we can in our minds associate or make ourselves believe it's okay. It's just a little thing, or it's not really that big of a deal because I'm not like, it's not something I could go to jail for.
Yeah.
Have a criminal record for.
Yeah.
But if it's sinfulness, according to God's word and his truth, mm-hmm. then it's sinfulness.
Yeah.
Right. And that's going to hinder us from spiritual growth. And we become very complacent in our spiritual state when we don't want to work and take our spirituality serious anymore.
Yeah.
When it becomes hard to actually admit this is an area of sin that, I mean, you know, it's easier to just laugh it off, forget it, hide it and cover it up,
mm-hmm.
Than to actually face it and to grow from it.
Yeah.
Because growing from it means growing, you know, away from it, getting it out of our lives.
But it's funny. It's like being uncomfortable and sitting with it and learning from it and saying, all right, I'm not going to do those things anymore. Those things yeah. that seem like little sins that actually yeah. are impacting our lives in a big way. When we take that step and we say, I am going to turn from this. I am going to trust God to lead me. On the other side of that is freedom.
Yeah.
And I know there are so many things where it's like when you give God control of that in your life, you say, all right, God, I'm going to follow you.
Yeah.
It's like time goes by and you look back and reflect on maybe those things that you used to struggle with. And so often it's like, oh, that was a major struggle in my life. And God has given me victory right. over this to where that's not a struggle anymore. And yeah. only he can do that. Right. But it's following him. It leads to freedom.
Right.
Freedom that we can't yeah. have if we hang on to yeah. those things.
Yeah. If we're just going to be complacent and just like, well, no, I feel good about myself. And, you know, a lot of times what we're doing is we're defining what purity before God is. Mm-hmm. We are defining it versus letting God define it.
Yeah.
What, you know, we talk a lot about walking with God or pureness, you know, having a relationship with God. I mean, we often use the word or you know, call it like Christ-likeness. Why? Because Jesus is pure and holy, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, he met the demand of God for righteousness and for justice when he died for us, but also for righteousness. He is the glory of God because he is holy and he is pure.
Yeah.
Right. So he is what we pursue. But in our lives, we can very easily define what we think that means. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think this is wrong. Or I don't think that's bad. And I think that there are a lot of areas that are between you and God. Right. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things as well that, you know, if we're going to say that, then we should be in an active mode of going to God and seeking scripture. Is there a truth or a principle in the Bible? And that I'm receiving from God through prayer that I can say, God is giving me peace in this.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? The Lord showed me, no, I shouldn't continue in this because it's hindering me. It's actually pulling me away from God. Or this area is something that I have I've come to believe, but, you know, is that according to scripture, to mm-hmm. God's truth? And we can give all the excuses and reasons for why we believe something or why we accept something, but if it opposes God's word, then it's not truth and it's leading us to be spiritually unhealthy.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go back to this place of going to places or bringing in things in our lives to cause us to forget the reality of what God says mm-hmm. and hiding the emotions of, I know this isn't really what the Bible says or what God says, to just make me feel better about it
yeah.
for now. Mm-hmm. But that truth is never going to go away mm-hmm. because God and truth is eternal. Yeah. And so folly says, I'll just do things to cover up. And there it is again, the emotions. God can even use our emotions. We can use the word conviction or whatever it is, but it's an emotion that we feel that tells us our conscience, conviction, our emotions, that we know if something's right or wrong. Or if we don't know, we can go to scripture.
Yeah.
But even if we do, we can, and if we don't really want to face that because we think we're enjoying living in this area or it's going to be too hard to change this area, then we can go to this place which Solomon, which God's word says is foolishness. Mm-hmm. If we just hide it and cover it up to try to forget it and not grow from it.
Yeah.
So what are we defining? You know, who are we allowing to define what is truth and pure standing before God? Mm-hmm. If that's even our pursuit, right? I hope it is. If that's our pursuit, then how or whom are we letting define that in our minds and hearts? Mm-hmm. Just myself? The world? Or actual truth of God's word and God himself?
Yeah.
So one is wise, one is foolishness. And that's why Solomon is telling us that it's actually better to mourn mm-hmm. because it leads us to reflection, and that leads us ultimately to turning to and trusting God
yeah.
for learning and growing from the hardships and the difficulties in life practically and spiritually. Mm-hmm. And so he encourages us to live wisely. Mm-hmm. It is better to mourn and to be wise.
Yeah, it's good.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. And so good thoughts there. Hope that's encouraging to you. We'll leave it at that today for this episode. So thanks for tuning in. I hope that is a help and encouragement to you and to continue in your spiritual walk with the Lord and your relationship with Him and in your pursuit of Christ-likeness. Choose wisdom and choose to live wisely in these areas. And that'll then give you true satisfaction and eternal, you know, joy, superseding any of the circumstances in life. So, all right. Well, thanks for tuning in. Hope you have a great day. And we'll see you next week. We look forward to another episode with you. So until then, have a great week and God bless.